Mark Twain described his mother as a genuinely good person, whose soft heart pitied even Satan, but who had no doubt about the legitimacy of slavery, because in her years in living in antebellum Missouri, she had never heard any sermon opposing slavery, but only countless sermons preaching that slavery was a God's will. With or without religion, good people can behave well, and bad people can do evil. But for good people to do evil, that takes religion. And that takes us to the end of our show. Thank you very much for listening. This is Don saying goodbye.
Thanks, Don. And go ahead, guys.
Well, I'll just say, no matter when you're listening to this show, if you downloaded it on our podcast, and please download our podcast. This is Ethan, and goodbye.
This is Rob. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Next week. Bye.
May 12, 2009, British Columbians will again be voting on whether to adopt the new voting system recommended by the BC Citizens Assembly on Electoral Reform, BCSTV. BCSTV is a more representative system in which elected representatives accurately reflect and are accountable to the will of voters. If you're interested in helping the campaign to bring fairer voting to BC, you can email us at fairvoteubc@gmail.com or visit the campaign website for more information at stv.ca. A message from the UBC Fair Vote Club.
Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
everybody. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. A beautiful day out there in our fair city today. Windy, but still a very lovely day. And let's just hop right into the show. And before we get into it, I do have to bring this up because it really does matter to me. I just found out right now. And with us right now, we have, and we'll get into you guys, of course, we are from the UBC Thunderbird champion, two-time champion, women's volleyball team, Liz Cordonia. Liz, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
And Danielle Peterson. Danielle, thanks for being here.
No problem.
Okay, now, do you guys ever go for beers at the gallery on Tuesdays? Either of you?
Not this year, but I have.
You have in the past?
Yeah.
$2 Molson Canadians, mm-hmm. right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That rings a bell? $8 pitchers?
Yeah.
Just down there at about 4:20, going for just one beer, a quick beer before I came on the air. I shouldn't say that, should I? I shouldn't go there, should I?
It's your show. You can do whatever you want.
There you go. Well, my friend was down there having a drink, and I said I'd meet him, and I was a little late. Anyway, so I met Derek down there. They have canceled it. No longer $2 Molson Canadians at the gallery on Tuesdays.
Forever.
Apparently, it got too messy. There was vomiting going on. They said it just got too out of control.
That's legendary, though, isn't it? No, they have karaoke on Tuesdays, too.
It is still karaoke, but it is now $2.50. Today was Sleeman's Honey.
Oh.
So that wasn't bad, actually.
That's still a good deal.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad, but still, I was quite taken aback, but I handled it well. I recovered. I had my Sleemans. Now, where it actually paid dividends was I drank my Sleemans quite quickly. It's a better beer. So there's something to give. It's now $9.50 pitchers, not $8.
Gonna break the bank.
I'm just, you know.
It's easier to drink. Daryl's still going to be throwing up at the end of it.
Now. I was not one of the vomiters. Let's move on. I would like to say, though, before we just get into the show, I did open there with the band Phish. And people that listen to the station do not like that band. That's just how it is. And people who run this station do not like that band. They would never give me permission to play that song, but that was Wilson from a March 8th. Oh, what does that? That's March 8th. Yeah, March 8th, Hampton show, their three-show reunion, and I got to go to that Sunday show, and I played it. As you said, it's my show. I can do what I want, as you said there. So on to volleyball, Shirley. Liz, you have to talk closer to the mic, by the way. You have to. There you go. Look how Danielle's right in there. With us right now, we have with us two members of the two-time now champion UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, and just in my defense, I have to start off with my defense here, is you won your championship a month ago today, I believe. It's March 31st. You won it on February 28th, Saturday.
Oh.
Right?
That's significant.
Well, correct.
Yeah, we should go for beers tonight. We should go for $2.50
beers.
All right,
$2 $9 pitchers.
$9.50.
Oh, no.
$9.50.
That's not doable.
$9.50. Yeah, you guys didn't know that it's your one-month anniversary?
No.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Studying? Too much studying? Is that the...
Yeah, we've got Big Block coming up in a couple of days. We got to save ourselves for that. Can't party too
much. You're young. You can do two nights out of three.
Did last night, too.
Okay, I like to hear that. Anyways, I'd just like to defend myself, first of all, because the first Tuesday after you guys won, I was away with the basketball team. The second Tuesday after you won, I was also away with the basketball team. So I missed two shows in a row there. The third Tuesday was St. Patrick's Day.
Why does basketball get priority?
No, I was in Ottawa mm-hmm. with them. I was in Ottawa with them. But the third Tuesday after that was St. Patrick's Day, where I bumped into you two, both of you.
Yeah, right.
So you saw I was in no position to do a radio show that day. Is that fair to say?
No one here was.
There you go. Absolutely. And then last week I had a friend in from out of town, so I did an abbreviated show. So this is my first.
Brings us to today.
But you can give me slack. That St. Patrick's Day, we started our drinking at 1 o'clock. And I had the show booked off a mile before then, and yeah.
You had quite the outfit.
Did you like my outfit?
Yeah, the bow tie was a nice touch.
You know what? Because I wear the green plaid jacket, right? And it is the bow tie, though. It's a clip-on.
Oh.
Not as cool.
You shouldn't have told us that.
I shouldn't have said that, really? Did you like the hat? Do you remember I had this big green friend gave to me?
You didn't have a hat when you saw us. You had a big scratch on your forehead, like somebody tried to mug the hat off your head or something.
Yeah, I had a big cut on my head. I lost the fight. I lost the play fight. A friend of mine in a cab, we just kind of got into it. We were having fun, but he looked okay after. Mm-hmm. I had that. Anyways, enough about me. Let's get on to you two right now. With us right now, Liz Cordonia and Danielle Peterson from the now two-time champion UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. And so, ladies, let's get into it. Looking back now, you know, the season's a little past now. But there was a moment in your season, is my understanding, is you guys were 7-5.
That's right.
And you went into Calgary.
Yeah.
Was that what it was?
We came out of Calgary 7-5, didn't we?
You came out of Calgary 7-5?
Yeah, it was a losing weekend. We lost both games back-to-back.
You lost both games back-to-back.
Bumped down our record to 7-5, which is probably one of the worst records we'd had in a few seasons.
And then you never lost another game. You won your rest of your regular season, conference championship, won the Nationals.
Yep.
So, in a nutshell, what happened really on that flight home from Calgary?
Go ahead.
Yeah, somebody's got to say something here.
Yeah, well, there's a multiple reasons, I think, that we picked it up at that point. First of all, we were sick of losing, but I think a big motivational factor was on the plane ride home, we were actually joking with our coach, Douglas Reimer, and we were kind of joking around with him, being like, hey, Doug, if we win next year, will you do this? Doug, if we win next year, will you do that? And so we were going back and forth, and finally it came up that if we won, would he shave his head? And with such a poor record, 7-5, I think he was like, oh, it's not a lot of, the odds aren't really in their favor.
Yeah, he liked his odds.
Yeah, and so he agreed to that, and that gave us a lot of motivation, and we started winning, and lo and behold, we won. And
Doug's bald now.
He shaved his head!
Yeah, for Cuts for Cancer.
Oh, good.
That's really
cool.
Good. That's a cool thing.
Who shaved his head? How did that go down?
I think it was one of the girls who was doing the Cuts for Cancer in the sub, and then we all came and watched and took some pictures and cheered him on and donated money.
Now, hold on. But before that happens is I shaved my head, but I kind of had no choice to do it. I have the old receding hairline, and, you know, what am I going to do? Now, is this something he looks good in? Was this something he was talking about doing, or did you just throw it at him and he ended up coming through on it?
Yeah, like, I don't think he was very excited about the idea of shaving his head. He thought he didn't know what the shape of his head was going to look like.
I don't think his wife was excited either.
Oh, wonderful.
His wife still isn't excited, but we like it, we've decided.
Yeah,
he looks younger, and, like, he doesn't need to shave his head yet, but, like, he looks good with it. Kind of like a thug, but good.
He said his daughter almost started crying when she heard, though. She was so worried for him.
Oh, no.
He's like a 7-year-old.
Because he's actually, I'll say this about your head coach, this is 2 years in a row. I interview him for the pre-Oscar show. He comes on. He comes on. And he has successfully...
He never tells us his stuff.
He has successfully now picked, 2 years in a row, best animated film.
Oh.
Yeah. He knows these animated films. He's very good at it, actually. Because he goes with his daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
You see? So he knew Ratatouille last year, and he called WALL-E this year. But I think he also loved Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah, see? So just so you know that, your head coach, you guys don't know this, hey?
No.
Cartoon movie. I bet you saw Monsters with Aliens already.
No, I'm going tonight, though.
No, but I bet you he's seen it.
Oh, yeah, probably.
You're going tonight.
Tomorrow night. I meant tomorrow night.
It's a bit of a kid's movie, isn't it, there?
It looks really good.
Cool.
Yeah. This is immature, too.
All right, cool.
I could probably help you on Oscar night.
Anyway, okay. Now we know. But just so you know that, your coach, 2 years in a row, best animated feature... He's on top of it. So
if I ever want to put some stakes on it, I'll know who to go to for best animated film.
On to your team, though. Back to volleyball here. Is you were injured for the last game.
Yep.
You were injured or you were...
I was actually a little bit injured, too. So.
But you both played in the final game, the big national championship versus Calgary.
Yeah, we sucked it up.
What was your injury, Danielle?
I had actually dislocated my patella earlier on in the season, and right when I got healthy, I did it again. And so I was kind of like building up, getting stronger. And then the gold medal game, I don't know if something happened again with my knee, but it was just really painful. I couldn't really jump that high, but...
Yeah. Wow, so you had to play through it. Did you play the whole game?
I did play the whole game. Got subbed in and out a little bit, but played the majority of it.
Did they ever, like, think of subbing you out and you were going, I'm okay?
Yeah. I definitely was like, Doug, if you take me out, I'll kill you.
Did you say that?
Like, or something like that, yeah. Our trainer, too, was like really worried about injuries and like, just tell me if it hurts too much, like, we'll sub you out. I'm like, no, you won't, Misha. You're not allowed.
And Liz, sorry, you couldn't play the whole game. You missed a little, didn't you?
Yeah. I was sort of, I've been battling a shoulder injury and an ankle injury for, well, since about Christmas time. And it sort of ended up with me tearing an abdominal muscle to like compensating for all the other injuries.
Right.
And so, I could usually deal with the first two injuries, but during the tournament, the ab got so bad that I was trying to hit a ball and I couldn't do it anymore.
She could barely stand up.
Straight. Yeah, it hurt a lot. So
you tore your abdominal.
Yeah, on the left side.
And you had a bad shoulder. Is it your spiking shoulder?
Yeah.
And a bad ankle.
Yeah.
Quite the warrior here, hey?
Yeah,
quite
seriously.
The invalid.
But you played, what, four of the five sets there?
I played the first three, and then I subbed into pass in the fourth one, and then I didn't really need to do anything after that because everybody else did their job really nicely.
Cool,
so,
cool. Yeah. And back onto your team, though. This is a team that it took 30 years to win the first national championship in 30 years. It took, and your sister was on many of those teams, mm-hmm. Emily,
yeah.
Who plays for the national team. And they used to always make it to the final or the semifinal, and they just never won. You're 2-2, though, hey?
Yep. And I was on the teams with Emily, too. Like, I have two silver medals.
Okay.
Yeah, the previous generation.
But what did it mean, though? Do you think it helped a lot for your team this year that you had gotten over that last year? Did that matter in that championship game? Did it matter in the playoffs? What did that mean?
Go for it.
Yeah, I definitely think it gave us the belief that we could win. And once we won last year, it was kind of like the monkey off the shoulders. We had finally jumped over the hurdle and we realized it was possible. So going in this year, it wasn't as like a defeating task, you know? We knew that we could do it if we just played our game.
Was it really mental last year?
Yeah, well, last year it was a completely different feel than this year. Going into the final match, well, every match at Nationals last year, it was kind of like, one set at a time, who knows what's going to happen. We were kind of the comeback kids. We just sort of gritted out everything. And this year we didn't really had to. We knew how to play with the lead. We knew how to really put the pressure on when it counted. And it almost, compared to last year, I mean, going to 2018 in the fifth set, it seemed a little too easy, to tell you the truth. But it's a good feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly, last year was more shocking because, like Liz was saying, each game was so neck and neck, and it could have gone either way. But this year, it seemed like we were the better team, and we just had to play our game. But last year, yeah, it was almost like a shock when we won. This year, it was like, yeah, we were good enough. We were the best team in Canada.
So last year, do you think it meant something to the program and your coach where it was like, not that you expect to lose, but the program just sort of so used to that happening that just that's kind of how it will end up in the end, sort of. And then you won. Was that sort of what it was like last year, kind of? Or?
I think so. Like, we were going to be proud of ourselves no matter what happened at the end of that tournament. But I don't think anybody, like, expected us to win. It was just, like, we decided at the really important parts of the game that that's how we wanted it to turn out. So.
And on to this year, you know, you guys, as we mentioned, 7-5 to start the year, never lost another game, won the conference championship, won every game in Nationals, obviously. You had a five-setter, though, in the final, which I was told was your best set of that tournament. Was that true, the fifth set against Calgary?
Yeah, it was. They definitely were the most competitive team, so they brought a lot of good stuff, and we kind of upped our game to play with them, too.
Yeah, it didn't seem like we really even played our best volleyball till that fifth set. It was sort of like, oh, when we're playing Calgary, like, we just beat them 3-0 the week before, and we know they're going to be good. And then when it got to the fifth set, we're like, okay, you know, fun's over. Time to win a national championship.
Cool. Who are some players who, obviously, the two of you came here today, thanks so much, who really had a great year? Who would you like to mention right now, Danielle?
On our team?
Yep.
It really was a team effort, yeah. Though. Like, I think you were saying we had previous teams, like the ones that Liz's sister was on, Emily, but they were just missing an X factor, and I think it's because the seven starters were mainly the team, but this year was honestly down to the last 14th person that really contributed and, like, made our year a success, so.
You're nodding. You were nodding there.
I totally agree. I mean, like, there's experience that comes from some of the fifth players, like Danielle and like Marisa Field, that was definitely like super important, but everybody had a huge role to play, and I'm not joking, like a huge role to play in our victory this year.
The lady who plays on your team, she actually does stuff for our sports department here, Claire Hanna, libero, right?
Yeah.
Well, who decides to be a libero? How do you do that? Because you don't play offense, right?
No.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Claire tried a lot of different positions in her first couple of years. Like, she was a middle at one point. Yeah. I think she came in as a power right side. And I think she just played around until she found what was the best fit for her and the team.
Because she led the league in digs, I saw, right?
Yeah, no, she was great for us this year in terms of libero. Like, she really grew into that role. It was kind of a getting used to thing with, like, her in that position and us as a team getting used to her in that position last year. And this year it was a lot more comfortable. And she really knew her role and did a good job with it.
And the other thing I have to ask about your team, you played in the first round versus Brandon, correct?
Right.
And you swept them here. Yep. And I was there for the second game when you guys won. And then I do have to say, it was a very strange game of tag I saw played after the game. Am I onto something here?
Do we play line tag? Is that
what we're doing? I don't know what you were... I do not know what you were doing. And you weren't even running.
Okay, after we play games, our trainer wants us to cool down. Our team has trouble, like...
Am I right here?
Right. Our team has trouble, like, stretching and stuff like that. So we developed a game of tag that would ensure that we actually cool down as opposed to just going straight to our team room. And we're kind of a goofy team, so we decided it'd be fun to play walking tag. Oh, yeah, so you're not allowed to run, and you just kind of, like, walk around and tag each other.
Because you were smiling, you were
smacking each other.
Yeah, what was that? I couldn't understand what was going on.
It's a cool down.
Yeah, Misha
tag.
Can never get us to cool down. We go and we eat the brownies after that the moms bring us and stuff and just sit and, like, and take our shoes off. And nobody ever cools down. Everybody's so sore by the next week. So that's how we made sure we're having some fun while we cooled down. I think it worked.
Okay, that was a fair question, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I could not, I just, it was
a
like,
weird-looking game of tag.
Yeah,
sure.
I think other teams, especially if we beat them, would probably be annoyed. Like, oh, look at them gloating playing tag. But really, it's just our cool-down.
And you were smiling.
Yeah,
everybody was having a good time. I guess
everyone
you just won.
Tag.
I don't know about that tag, though. It was walking tag?
Yes, walking tag.
I guess you've just played a game. So you don't need to play a running game of tag. Is it competitive, this game of tag?
Everything we do is competitive, yeah.
So the tag's competitive?
A lot of times people will, like, walk and pretend they're it, but not actually be it, and they'll DQ out, and angry.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
There's strategy to tag.
Who's the best tag player on your team? Can you be, like...
Who's got the longest arms? Yeah, I don't know.
Probably Reese.
Yeah, Reese is pretty good.
Who's Reese?
Reese is our tall middle blocker that doesn't like running. She specializes in walking.
Walking tag.
Yeah.
Walking
tag. She was a first-year, first-team all-star, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. What's Danielle best at, Liz? What's her strength on the court?
Danielle is, as long as I've known her, since we were, like, 15 years old, has been, like, the best blocker that I've ever known, pretty much. She's got incredible hands and really gets really key blocks. And aside from just her general leadership qualities as a fifth year, like, just really knows what she's doing out on the court, and a lot of people take inspiration and comfort in that.
So what do you do to block a shot in volleyball? I'm not even 5'9". I can't do it, but how do you do it? You just jump up, and does it hurt? I mean, it's kind of hurt to do that.
It's a lot more than just jumping up, actually. Yeah. It's funny, people who, like, don't really know volleyball, like, oh, you just kind of, like, run and jump and try to touch the ball. But no, you have to read the other hitters and, like, you move your hands a certain way, and there's different footwork that goes along with, like, particular sets that the other team is doing. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of intricate, but...
And you can't go too early.
Can't go too early, yeah. There's timing issues, and there's different... According to what your position is, there's different things that you have to block, so...
You have to block in a certain way that you'll get the ball back too.
Yeah, you have to try to, like, push over the net and penetrate the.
Are you allowed to be? Are you allowed? You're not allowed to have your hand over the net, though, are you?
You are.
Oh, you are. You're not allowed to touch it.
You're not allowed to touch the ball when it's on their side of the court. It has to be over the plane of the net before you're allowed to touch it. So you're not allowed to block someone before their person has touched it.
Like, if they've hit it and your hands are over the net, that's fine. But if they're about to hit it and you're over the net and you touch it, that's not allowed.
Gotcha. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
You gave a look there.
It's hard to describe without kind of like having...
So your forearm here has to kill doing that at times.
You get used to it.
Really?
Fingers get broken, though, a lot sometimes.
Or... Yeah. Ah, that's nothing.
yeah, it stings kind of, but yeah, if you block it properly, you usually can't feel it.
So you've got all taped up fingers, or?
Yeah, fingers are the worst because they seem like such a small injury, and yet they're the most painful. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than getting your finger put off in a different direction after getting a block. It's terrible.
I've never had that happen.
No.
I've never had
That's good.
What's Liz best at?
Liz is just a sick all-around player. Like, obviously, she's on the national team, but I think what she really brings to the game is just a fiery competitiveness. Like, she's the most competitive person I know and steps up when we need her most under the biggest pressure. And she's just the go-to player. So if you want a kill, you give it to Liz. And if you want a good pass, you hope the ball goes to Liz. It's like, she's the person you want on the court at the toughest times.
So but it sounds like she's the spiker, basically. She's the one
who
smashes
the spiker,
that ball.
She's
killer,
the passer.
The killer.
She's the digger. Honestly,
really?
She excels at, like, every single skill.
It's embarrassing.
So you're just the perfect player,
no,
hey?
She actually is.
Wow.
I wish I was Liz.
Wow.
I really have his radio. I'm all red.
So you're the perfect player then, hey?
No, those are not my own words. I've been playing volleyball for a long time, and that helps.
Cool. Do you and your sister, because your whole family plays, right?
Yeah, pretty much, except for my parents.
Except for your parents.
Yeah.
So you've got, your brother plays on the men's team.
Yeah.
Your sister, how many other sisters you got?
I've got Emily and then another sister, Jen, who was a captain of the junior varsity team for 5 years.
Yeah.
So, and then my youngest brother, Johnny, he just had his first year at UBC, and he's redshirting for the men's team as well. So we're all in the program.
Do you play in the backyard?
Not at all. We don't have really a backyard.
Do you guys go to the court together? And
Em and I play on the national team together, yeah. And I mean, other than that, we've tried playing beach a couple of times together, which was a horrible failure. But
you were partners.
Yes.
And it didn't work.
Just for one time, and it will probably never happen
again.
That's
awesome. Big sister, little sister
yeah.
complications there?
No, it was just like, we're not very compatible beach partners in terms of our skills, I think.
That's a funny way of putting it, hey? Did you ever see them play, the sisters?
I never got to see them play, but I think that'd be
very
pretty
lucky.
Funny.
So what were they doing? You were playing like a team that you probably should have just destroyed and you lost?
Well, it was one summer when we had like a couple of weeks break from the indoor team.
Yeah.
And so I love playing beach volleyball. That's actually what I'm doing this summer. And so I asked Em to play with me in this one tournament when we got home. And we were playing against, like much shorter girls. Girls that we assume were better volleyball players than. But when you get on the beach, like, all bets are off. Like, if you don't know how to play beach volleyball, you look like an idiot out there. And we look like we're running in molasses because it's a lot different in the sand. We were running, like, really short sets, like 51s in the sand, which you just don't do because you can't move that fast. And because we just didn't know any better.
I don't know what a 51 is.
A 51 is, like, if you ever see a middle blocker coming in for a very fast tempo hit, the set's just, like, half a foot above the setter's hands, and it's really a quick attack instead of a high loopy set. So that's what a 51 is, run out of the middle there.
Kind of got it there.
Yeah. Beach volleyball and indoor volleyball are actually quite different, and you think it'd be a lot easier to transition between the two since they're all volleyball skills, but really it's so difficult because they're different games. And yeah, beach volleyball, it's like really depends on the chemistry between the two people, so then I find it's a lot easier to get mad at your siblings, so I think it'd be harder to play with your family members.
So big sister, little sister, no more.
Yeah, no, we had no problem like yelling at each other, and I think it's probably a good thing that we retired that
that's
relationship.
That's awesome. I'd be the same with my brother, I assume. But we don't play volleyball. And he lives in Toronto.
So does my sister.
There you
Maybe
go.
Maybe they're friends over there.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Danielle, do you play beach volleyball too?
I dabble. I wouldn't say that I play, but me and Claire Hanna were actually partners last summer playing beach together and
success?
Just went into the tournaments. We had a lot of fun. Like, we got a lot better over the summer, but it was the first time that either of us had really played competitively. So I think we would hope to do better if we play again.
You guys play at Kits? Is that where?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually a huge beach volleyball community, and, like, it's really competitive. There's some good players.
I'd like to go down there and heckle. I live right by there. I'd like to go down there and heckle. Would that be okay?
That's perfectly fine.
That's perfect.
There's a lot of volleyball players that heckle all the
I don't play volleyball,
too.
Though.
That doesn't matter.
I don't play volleyball, though.
You make fun of their shorts or something, then.
Nah, I just throw things.
You throw things.
I just throw things. Not good? Can't do that?
That's probably frowned upon.
Oh, fine. Fine. What's it like doing... Because that has to be... Is that the most fun part of volleyball, though, is smashing that ball basically down somebody else's throat, basically? I mean...
It's pretty satisfying. I've never dunked a basketball, but I assume it would be pretty similar. it's It's a nice feeling.
Actually, the thing that riles me up the most and gets my adrenaline going is getting a really, really amazing dig.
A dig, hey? Yeah. That looks like the hardest, actually, to do. No?
I think digging.
Especially on the hard court.
Mm-hmm.
Sand, it almost looks kind of fun in a way.
Sand, you can Superman dive and you know you'll land softly, yeah. But indoor, all our hips are bruised and scarred.
You're gonna scrape.
There's scars all over our hips from diving and stuff.
Right? Is that the hardest thing? Oh, what did we say? No?
No, I have those. They're just a little lower, actually.
What, is that the hardest thing to do, though? Is it a dig? Is that fair? I don't know.
It totally depends on the person, I think. I'm sure Claire would say that digging's one of the easier things. I think defense is definitely the most challenging part of the game in my perspective.
Do you have a favorite smash that comes to your mind, say, from your career at UBC or in the past? Like,
No, but I do have a favorite play.
Okay, lay it
on. It actually happened at Final Four this year. And volleyball rally is usually quite short. They're maybe like 20 seconds. But this one in particular, it was just going back and forth. It was the final against us versus Trinity, actually. And the ball had gone over the net a couple times. It's like been over a minute. We're all just sucking air. We can barely breathe. And their best player, Dana, she's also on the national team, goes up and gets a huge swing.
A 51.
Yeah, a 51.
Okay, so a 51 is when you set it up real fast.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not like the...
So yes, that means that the player is in the air before the setter set it, and so she hits it really quickly out of the setter's hands. So it was going straight down, but before it hit the floor, it hit Claire Hannah's head, and off her head, it went to the deep corner of their court, and we won the point off of a pack.
She got it off her head?
Yeah, and scored from it, so she also got a kill in the stats.
Did she go down?
I think she's a little dazed. Went to the floor for a couple minutes.
Did she
not really
cheer? Was she up cheering right away?
Well, I was probably cheering. Surrounded her like, yeah, Claire!
It was more hilarious.
That's pretty cool.
I think
cool.
It's a good point because both team wins, because they were probably excited they got a pack, and we were excited we won the point.
What did they get?
A pack. Like, when you hit a ball and it hits someone's face, you call it a six-pack.
Oh, so that's like a drinking game for beach volleyball, basically. Yeah. No?
It's like, it's pretty prestigious when a player packs another player.
Yeah. That's cool. You don't want to get packed.
Have you ever packed anybody?
Yep, I have, definitely. And actually, when we were playing juniors that one year, there was, remember the two girls with like blood all over the floor?
Yes,
like,
Liz has produced blood before.
What did you do?
We were just playing this Ontario team or something, and one of them like got hit, and the other player was coming to dig it as well, and the ball hit her, and then they hit heads, and then there's blood all over the floor.
It hit her in the face?
It hit her in the shoulder or the head or something.
It hit her in the head.
In the head, yeah. And then another player hit her in the head. She got hit by a head and a volleyball.
And you you were the one that smashed that and caused that?
Yeah. It was terrible.
It wasn't fun at all?
No. When you see blood, it's not fun. I hate blood.
Well, we had to delay the game. It was a big ordeal.
You don't want to delay the game.
Yeah.
It was gross.
You had to scrub up the floor.
Yeah. They did. They had to bring out a sanitary pack to make sure they cleaned it properly.
Really? Hey?
I've definitely been packed myself, though, and it's also a little bit embarrassing.
Do you ever aim at a player's head? Or is that not what
we
you do?
We joke about it, but it's pretty hard to have that kind of accuracy.
Well, can you aim at their body sometimes?
Well, aim at positions on the court, not necessarily a player. You usually don't aim for players because you don't want them to dig it. But if they happen to get in the way, it's nice when it goes off their face.
That's great. That's great. Awesome. With us right now from the two-time UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, Danielle Peterson and Liz Cordonier. Ladies, thanks so much for coming on today.
No problem. Thanks
very,
for having us.
Very much appreciated. All right, everybody. We are going to take a quick... And so if you want to go heckle these two ladies, Kitts Beach Summer League, right?
Yeah.
Who's the better beach volleyball player then?
Liz, she's always better than me.
I want to see you and your sister. That sounds entertaining to watch. And you're not playing? I'm sorry to bring it up like that, but...
That's okay. No, I'm actually playing in Toronto this summer. I'll be home for a couple weeks and maybe play some around the Kitts Beach, but...
Like national team
She's
stuff.
Playing on the beach national team. So she transitioned from indoor national team to beach national team.
Really?
Giving it a try.
Where? That's out of Toronto?
It's out of Toronto, yeah.
Why Toronto? Because it's kind of muggy there
in the summer. It's central, I guess, and it's better than Winnipeg.
Oh, really? We'll leave it at that. We will leave it at that. Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we're back, we're going to talk a little swimming. Anna May Pierce, who set some records in the Canadian has set world record, actually, world. For Canadian. Yeah, I got it. I got it. Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to 101.9 FM. And once again, I am still a little amazed right now that the $2 gallery Molson Canadians are gone.
Outrageous.
But I will say the $2.50 honey Sleeman's honey, I drank it a lot quicker. And it was enjoyable. My brother works for Sleeman, so I give them a plug. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a moment.
$923 million people across the world are hungry right now. 16,000 children die from hunger-related causes every day. On February 10th, please join us at Performance Works on Granville Island for a banquet that will bring to life the inequitable distribution of food in today's world. The banquet will feature guest speaker Dr. Shafiq Darmzi and will be complete with music, food, and a silent auction. Doors open at 6 o'clock p.m. and dinner will begin at 7 o'clock. General admission tickets cost $25 and student tickets cost $20. All proceeds will be donated to Oxfam Canada. Tickets can be purchased online at hungryforchange.eventbrite.com or outside the south entrance to the sub on February 5th, 6th, and 9th. With your help, we can make our world a better place.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to 101.9 FM. This is CITR, the Morning After Show. My name is Osvaldo Perez.
Van Music and CITR presents the 10th anniversary of the Morning After Show on April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive, 2205 Commercial Drive. Doors open at 2 p.m. There'll be 11 bands. $10 advance tickets can be bought at High Life Records on Commercial Drive or through vanmusic.ca. You can also phone 778-862-1577. Playing at the show is Los Furios, Hawaiian Bibles, Los Malos, The Get Down, Michelle Carter-Lees, Sinister Black, The Rain in the Sidewalk, Tom Girl, Jess Hill, Mac Hunter, and the Aching Heart Foundation. It's April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive. Be part of the movement.
Morning After Show, every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. You can listen at www.citr.ca or at 101.9 FM. The Morning After Show, 10 years playing your future favorite song.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and Anna May.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. You know, I will say, I wanted to load up to intro you the Mary Tyler Moore Show theme song. Do you know that one at all?
I've heard it before, yes.
You've heard? That's what I was getting, but it just wouldn't load up, and now it's loaded. It's up to you. Would you like to get on with the interview, or would you like to hear the theme song? It's really what you want to do.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, I'll take that as a, I definitely don't want to hear the theme song, you weirdo. But moving right along, so I was going to intro, and I'm quite distraught. Anyways, with us right now, we have a world record holder on the line, Anna Mae Pierce, who a couple weeks ago set the world record for the 200-meter breaststroke short course. Anna Mae, looking back, you know, you've had a little time to settle in and realize that you did set that record. How does it feel a couple weeks later that you actually achieved this amazing feat?
It feels pretty amazing. I mean, it's kind of day by day, like, things happen, and I realize, like, oh my gosh. But no, it's pretty cool.
And take us back to the race. I mean, you know, this is I you can actually find it on YouTube, which is kind of pretty neat. And you know, it was kind of thing where it's actually one of those interesting things. Did you have any doubt at all? Because you just heard the announcer and you could see the crowd. It was almost like everybody. No offense, Anime, but everybody knew you were going to win that race. The whole question was, were you going to set a world record? What were you thinking going into that race?
I knew I could do it. It was just going to be a matter of actually getting in there and doing it.
Can you see the other swimmers around you as you're racing, or?
Not really. You just kind of, you can go by, well, I guess on the turns, you can kind of see them, and I knew, you know, I was pretty far ahead, so, and I knew they weren't going to be going slow, so it was, and the crowd was just going crazy. So,
do you hear the crowd when you're swimming?
Oh yeah, every time you come up to breathe.
Do you hear the announcer say the time?
Yeah, sometimes I could hear like every stroke I would come up, every second stroke, you know, I'd hear every second word, but you try not to pay attention to it.
But my question is, do you know going into that last lap, that second to last lap, that you're on the pace? Can you tell
yeah.
from just,
I didn't know because they were just so loud that I knew I had to be close.
Really? But you don't know exactly where you're at, hey?
No.
So cool. So overall, was that the greatest swim of your career? Obviously.
So far, yes.
Great, and
but not the last greatest one.
Atta girl, that's what I want to hear here. But so now you're going to move on to the World Championships. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So what? And that is that short course, or is that now on the long course?
Long course now.
So
that'll be in the summer.
So how do you adjust there? What do you have to do? Is there much of a difference in training for short and long course?
Not really. I mean, short is there's a lot more power, I guess, involved because there's more turns. But other than that, you know, it'll basically be the same sort of training. I have a meeting with Joe next week, and we're going to talk about what we're doing. So, yeah.
So
lots more hard training.
Cool. So Joe's your trainer.
Yeah, he's my coach.
What's his name? I need a full
name. Joseph Noyge.
That's hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
That's hard to pronounce. Anna Mae Pierce with us right now, a recent world record holder. So, Anna Mae, how you faring in this world championship? You came sixth in the Olympics. So, give us some of the other ladies who are going to be your real competition at the world championships.
There's going to be the Rebecca Stoney, who was the winner at the Olympics. And then there's going to be Mirna Jukic, who is a Croatian. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty fast as well. And then there'll be Martha McCabe from Canada, who's a UBC swimmer, will most likely make the 200 as well. And then there's a couple Russians and a couple Aussies and a couple Brits. So, you know, there's a lot of good swimmers.
Wow. So no Dana Torres in your group, hey?
Dara Torres.
Sorry, Dara Torres.
She's a sprinter.
She's the sprinter, hey?
Yeah.
So how do you train, really? That's sort of my question for you, because you obviously tried to peak for this event, and then you have the World Championships coming up. But really my question for you, Anna Mae, is obviously you're shooting for London 2012. So how does it really work with your training from here on in? Because I'm assuming that's really where you want to be peaking, is in London, correct?
Yeah, but that's a while away. So, I mean, you have a ton of cycles that you go through, and every summer there's a big championship meet that, you know, that you'll peak for. So it's not, you don't just train for the Olympics, because then you'd go crazy. but you do, you know, you do kind of when it gets closer. So in 2 years from now, then you'll really start thinking, okay, what are things that I'm going to have to majorly step up? But otherwise, I mean, I leave the decisions mostly to my coach and do what he wants me to do. And he's the brains behind the operation. So
that has to make it easier, because you could probably go completely crazy trying to plan this schedule out, hey?
Oh, yeah.
So basically, from what you're telling me, is just for swimmers in general, I'm assuming, is you'll try to peak for the World Championships, but when 2010 hits, so say a year from now, then you really, over those next 2 years, start trying to plan for the Olympics. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, you kind of keep training. I mean, I guess whenever, because you get a break in the summer too for about a week and a half.
Oh my God.
2 weeks. So then, I mean, you just always come back and you start over again and you build from where you were the summer before or the season before.
That doesn't sound like much of a break there, Anna Mae.
No, you don't usually get much of a break, but that's okay.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome. So Anna Mae Pierce with us right now, UBC Thunderbird swimmer. So are you back at UBC next year?
Yes, just to finish my last couple of courses, and then I'll graduate.
Cool, but you're back on the swimming team next year?
Nope, I'm done.
Oh, that's
it,
eh?
My varsity eligibility, yeah.
Okay, that's right. So Anna Mae Pierce with us right now, and Anna Mae, any other races you're looking at really starting to compete in at this high level?
The 100. so I'll put in the 100 breaths. But other than that, no, I don't get the somayam or anything, which is kind of sad. But
why,
I guess if you can be the best at one thing and then instead of being mediocre at like four things,
right?
Yes, it's better to be the best.
So the IM is you get to swim all the different strokes. Is that the IM there?
Yeah.
So you're a breaststroke lady. That's what it is.
I am a breaststroking lady.
what's your best skill in the breaststroke?
Probably my kick.
The kick?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I struggle at the kick. What do I got to do to improve my kick?
You have to be born with it. Sorry to say, but you do.
That's it, eh?
You can either do breaststroke kick or you can't.
You know what? What actually makes me feel good about that is I don't have to bother anymore, hey?
Exactly.
So breaststroke is the breaststroke. Now you're bringing your arms all the way over. Is that the one you're sort of paddling ahead?
It's the one that looks like a frog. Everything stays underwater.
Yeah. Wow. How did you take to that? Like, how did that become your stroke?
It's natural. Like, breaststroke is the very natural stroke. It's a lot of times you are born able to do it, and with the talent to be able to do it well and properly.
Right. Because breaststroke's the one. I mean, I'm just trying to. What's the one where you bring your arms right over the water? Which one's
that? That's the butterfly.
That's the butterfly. So the breaststroke is the common stroke, hey?
Yeah, so, it's kind of the like old lady stroke. So I'm the best in the world at the slowest stroke.
But it's the one everybody does, right?
Exactly.
So if you're ever like stranded in an ocean, you're the one who I'm grabbing onto for dear life, then, basically.
Okay.
So you're basically what you're telling me is with my breaststroke kick, because I know, you know, where I try to, you bring it around, right?
Yeah.
It's my right knee. It just doesn't do it right. That's never going to come around, eh?
That's pretty hard to teach.
Wow. I'm hooped. I'm totally hooped. I can live with that, though. We'll have to move on to other things in life, basically.
Yeah.
So the kick just came to you totally naturally, then, I take it.
Yes.
That's not fair. And Anna Mae Pierce, any other strokes that you feel like you could do, but obviously this is your bread and butter stroke, what's your second best stroke?
I am, because I can kind of fake the other ones, but breaststroke is the main component of it. But other than that, I'm pretty terrible at the other strokes.
Oh, really? So it's just,
it's
breaststroke and then everything else just throw together, hey?
Yeah.
Cool. What's the key to the other three strokes? What can't you do?
Backstroke, I drown, so I don't even know.
Okay.
Butterfly, you need to be really, really strong.
Yeah.
And then freestyle, you have to be pretty strong and have really good technique.
Yours is the most useful, though.
Yeah.
There's no elementary back Olympic event, eh?
No, there's not.
There's no. That's kind of like the one where you're tired and you just kind of go on the back, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and the other one I had trouble with, I failed my bronze cross because I couldn't do egg beater.
Oh yeah, see that's key for breaststroke too.
Really?
That's the same sort of movement.
Can't do it. I just can't do it. Anna Mae Pierce. Anna Mae, thank you so much for coming on today. Very much appreciated.
Welcome.
And so, the World Championships, where does this take place? When does it take place?
Rome in the end of July.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
So best of luck in that, and thanks again for coming on.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. That was
okay.
Oh, thank you, Anna Mae. I turned off the wrong thing there. Look what I've done here. I've got all the phone lines. Oh, look at that. This is going to take a while to fix. All right, everybody, you're listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. in a sunny day out there in Vancouver. Normally, though, we had a lovely day on Sunday. Wasn't Sunday fantastic? Wasn't Sunday just great?
Great golfing day, Daryl.
Oh, you went golfing with us right now, a guy who comes on with me every now and then. And you see, what happened was, just so everybody's listening, I actually got here early to interview the athletic director, Bob Phillip. We had a little problem. Couldn't happen. There was a mix-up.
I remember.
Yeah, didn't happen. Made a few calls with some coaches. Nobody could do it. So we've hit 5:30. Out of guess. It's that it's that time for the Daryl and Derek show. You went golfing on Sunday, Derek.
Little pitch and putt from Queen Elizabeth.
Wow, how'd you do? Because you stink.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, you do stink.
Even on the pitch and putt, I was a stroke over on every hole.
Yeah, you tend to
hit it too low. You don't hit it right.
You know what? I've got the chicken wing.
What's the chicken wing?
It's when you come over the top, you fling it.
You fling
the club over the top.
Yeah, just keep those wrists firm. You take your swing like it's a practice swing. That is my advice to
that,
you.
You know what? That's the best advice anybody could give a golfer.
Yeah.
Because if you're not relaxed, you're going to do something you don't want to do because you're thinking too much about it. If you just are relaxed and fluid, you'll hit a perfect shot.
This is golf advice from a crappy pitch and putt golfer. That is what we just heard there. But who's better to give advice than the crappy golfer?
Well, I know what I'm doing wrong.
You know what you're doing
which
wrong.
Which is a lot and often.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're now just very quickly, because I've got it all tuned up here. We're going to listen to the Mary Tyler Moore theme song.
One of your favorites.
Well, no, you saw how long it took me to load this thing.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
I was struggling. The computer just didn't want to do it. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to figure out what to do for the rest of the show. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to do the rest of the show. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We have a Canuck game going on currently, and when we're back, we're going to give you the score. Huh?
Not a bad idea. And a Habs game, too.
I got Carey Price in my hockey pool.
Okay.
And he is just, he ain't doing it for me.
You know what? Remember when, well, this is too long of a story, but something's happened to Carey. He's got to get his mind back in the game. He's not there.
Okay,
he's broken.
That was awful. That was just awful. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to play some station IDs. Then we're going to play a song. Then we're going to be back. See, that'll... You see? See where I'm going there?
I see where you're going there.
All right, you're listening to 101.9 FM. Now, how's your day going so far, by the way?
Fantastic.
Thoughts on the $2.50 beer down at the gallery, $2
You
no
know
longer.
What? I think it's an improvement.
Really, because of the honey, the Sleeman's honey?
Well... Yeah. The thing is, one Molson is okay. Two Molson, not bad. Three Molson, you're having a good time. 12 Molson, you're regretting it. Honey Brown, I think you can get to about, 14 maybe. 14. It'll cost you 50 cents more. But, really, that's not bad.
Last time Derek and I went out was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeehaw.
We went out St. Patrick's. How did I do that day?
Daryl, your best moment was outside of the Swiss Chalet.
No. It was actually Calhoun's this year.
Oh, it was Calhoun's.
But we're not going to get into that because that's for me to know and nobody else to know. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to 101.9 FM. When we're back, this is what we got planned for you guys right now. We're going to play a couple station IDs. Then we're going to play a song. And we're going to have the Canuck store for people when they come back.
And the Habs.
And the Habs store. Anything else you want to add to our smorgasbord here?
Leafs suck.
No. What we're going to have for them when we get back. What else can you think of? I got the Habs. We got the
Habs. Canucks. We could talk about England beating Slovenia 4-0.
Couldn't care. Absolutely couldn't care. Not even registering on top.
South Africa 2010.
2000. Nah, you know what? Soccer, I've had it. It had its day.
We've got an MLS team now.
Nah, doesn't do it for me. I just want a place where I can go lie down. That's all I look for.
This is called a nursery, Daryl.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to play a couple station IDs for you. We're going to play a song. We're going to have the Habs.
Score.
Blackhawks. It's a big game.
Habs, Blackhawks. They were up 1-0 last I saw.
Yeah. Who are the Habs?
Habs.
So
yep.
Price was in net.
Price was in net. I think Kovalev scored.
All right. We're going to have the Canucks score.
If there is one.
And we're going to have the Canucks score. That's really... Oh, there was something. We're going to do a little baseball. We're going to do a little baseball because the season starts.
Grapefruit League.
The season starts on Sunday.
Really?
It's opening day on Sunday.
Same day as Major League Stickball.
Yes, we will also talk. You're our commissioner.
There's a big doping scandal.
Really?
Yeah,
you're our commissioner. We do, basically what it is, my friends and I, we have a stickball league, and we each put our own teams together, and so it's such a weird game that we play that I'm not even going to bother explaining it on the air right now. But I will say my big weakness, besides my inferior play, is the fact that Jim Corcoran, he throws at me. He goes headhunting on me. And I have to be able, the whole key for me to stand in there this year, to be competitive, is I have to be able to take those beans. Now, not only do I have to be, see, the whole thing is, I have to stand in there and just take it and maybe move a little, but I can't let it change the way I'm standing in the batter's box.
Don't let it affect you.
No, and I know he's going to hit me hard.
That's right.
At least 3 to 4 times a game. He's probably going to throw the ball at me about 10 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get hit, and that's what I have to understand is I'm going to get hit. It's part of the game because we don't play this don't pitch inside stuff.
No,
it's not of our stick. You can pitch inside.
Oh, yeah. Old Haas don't play that game.
Old Haas, Burley Grinds, that's my staff, Charles Victory Fost. But we allow people to pitch inside. That's, you know, we play old school, right?
Spitballs are still in, too, because we're still on the grandfathering class.
Yeah. So anyways, though, I have to be able to stand in there. And I got now very few days till opening day to get ready for this. And,
got 6 days.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the key to my success this year. That and hopefully I just want to win one game. that's really my goal.
A man of modest dreams.
Well, you know, we're going to get into this when we get back. Were you on my PE-12 team that lost every time except we won broomball once?
No, I had...
You were in a different class. You were in a different class, eh?
I had...
Were you on the winning?
I can't even remember.
The reason...
You know what? I remember I had Mr. Skarsgård.
No. That's a different one.
That's not right.
My point is... No, I don't want to hear your story. You've missed your chance. My point is, in grade 12, we were in, the first couple days or whatever. They put teams together, and... We sort of had it.
Wyatt Dewey.
Okay, we sort of had it where each day you would still play on that same team. Okay, that's sort of how it worked out. Well, we had the crap team; they had the good team, and every day we got beat and beat bad. And I remember the teacher would always say to us, "Do we want to switch teams?" And tons of kids in the class would go, "Yeah, we want to switch them up, right?"
And I wanted to be winners.
I stood by us. I refused to have that team being changed. I think Alex Barber was also on my team. Pat Corney was also on that team.
Oh, legends.
We stuck together. We stuck together. Micah Groberman, Adam Siegel. That was that was like the core of our team.
The cream of the crop.
Yeah, and anyways, we never won. We used to just get murdered day in and day out. One day at the Carisdale Arena, the sport that we beat them in, it was played on ice. It was played at the rink, and it was broom ball. And what it was we all had brooms. We all had brooms, and
I thought you were going to say ringette.
It was broom ball, and what it is you would hit like one of those soccer balls, but it's sort of like a
medicine ball.
No. Sort of like a soccer ball, but it's sort of like a almost like a velvety. Surface.
Oh, like a dodgeball.
Yeah, but like softer. Almost,
I know what you're talking
and
about.
And that was the, it was like yellow or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a goalie and we just played. We won in broomball. We won. And what is funny is to this day, we still remember that we won in broomball. And my point is.
Well, it's not hard to remember your victories when it's only counted on one digit of one hand.
Well, no, we might have won a couple. We're not sure. There might have been something else that we won again. But we won broomball that day. I recall winning broomball that day. And we all recall it. And my point is, where I'm going here is sometimes you take teams and, you know, you're going to play it. It's going to be even. And this guy's going to win that. Because you want everybody to be a winner. But when you're a loser all the time and you win broomball, 12 years later, the people on that team still remember the broomball victory. Because basically, if we had, you know, split up the teams and everybody won, nobody would remember a thing.
Exactly.
We won broomball. You ask Pat Corney, you ask Alex Farber, you know those guys. They will remember the broomball victory day.
Thankfully, both of those people have gone on to bigger and better things. Pat Corney, successful psychiatrist in Saskatoon.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break here on 101.9 FM. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue.
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it. Love is all alone, no need to waste it. You can never tell, why don't you take it? Love is all alone, no need to waste it.
By shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to 101.9 FM. This is CITR, the Morning After Show. My name is Osvaldo Perez.
Van Music and CITR presents the 10th anniversary of the Morning After Show. On April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive, 2205 Commercial Drive. Doors open at 2 p.m. There'll be 11 bands. $10 advance tickets can be bought at High Life Records on Commercial Drive or through vanmusic.ca. You can also phone 778-862-1577. Playing at the show is Los Furios, Hawaiian Bibles, Los Malos, The Get Down, Michelle Carter-Lees, Sinister Black, The Rain in the Sidewalk, Tom Girl, Jess Hill, Mac Hunter, and the Aching Heart Foundation. It's April 10th at the Legion on Commercial Drive. Be part of the movement.
Morning After Show, every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. You can listen at www.citr.ca or at 101.9 FM. The Morning After Show, 10 years playing your future favorite song.
Check my fitness, damn.
Oh, shit.
Six pack all day on the antidote. You want fame? Put my face in the cameo. Nah, 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 you can't touch me. I'm 5'3", lipstick, and I'm lovely. And all them ladies wishing that that day was me. And all them homies wishing that they could fuck me. And nah, 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 you can't touch me. And it's clear nobody ever above me. And it's here, I'm on top, you can trust me. You hear my voice, consider yourself lucky.
You can't touch me. I'm 5'3", lipstick, and I'm lovely. And all them ladies wishing that Tell them local yokels, trash talking in their vocals, but they yoko onos, trying to break us up like the Beatles. They don't know though. I can't be touched like the Ogo Pogo. You go the way out of dodo, no more promo, promo. You can take yourself a photo, middle finger to the popo, waving it out the window. Endo, let it out. Streets follow right behind. Ain't nobody got a grind quite like mine. As I switch, switch it up, you better pick it up. I'm kicking up dust, cause in the digits I trust, you in a midst of the chaos, like the Canucks at the playoffs. You better bid on DZ, cause your last bet didn't pay off. Shit ain't the same, I'm giving dick to these dames, as I'm switching up lanes, it's your bitch giving brains. But hey, what can I say, it ain't hard to explain. You know that cash rule the game, I didn't even get a name. But who's to complain, I'm only here for the day. Tomorrow isn't promised, baby, DZ came here to play. Yo, I'll take you back to my place for a fair exchange, and we'll stay up late and watch the haters hate, saying, nah, 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 you can't touch me. DZ and Baby C looking so lovely, and all these homies wishing that they could touch me, and all these ladies wishing that they could fuck me. Nah, 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 you can't touch me. On top of my game, ain't no one above me. I got a bet even Limbaugh couldn't rush me. Trust me, Baby C and DZ gonna hush these.
Bringing you the hockey scores this evening, Derek Andrew. At the end of the second, it is Boston up 3-0 on Tampa Bay. With 12 minutes left in the second period, Ottawa is losing to Florida 1-0. 44 seconds into the Vancouver Canucks game, no score.
44 seconds left.
Oops. 44 seconds left in the Vancouver. My eyes are not very good. I have astigmatism.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Dallas and Los Angeles are tied 0-0.
It's Columbus.
No, but Dallas and Los Angeles yeah, right. Tied 0-0 in the 10 minutes left in the first period.
Game starts at 7:30.
Never mind. Game starts at 7:30. My eyes not very good. Nashville and Columbus all tied up at the end of the second period with a goal by Carly O'Reilly for Nashville and R.J. Umberger for Columbus. Chicago, Montreal, Kovalev has scored a goal, 1-0 Montreal, with 17 minutes left in the second period. Anaheim at Edmonton, 9:30. Oh, starts in an hour and a bit. Still nothing.
Starts at 45 minutes.
We'll give you the scores when we have them.
Well done there, Derek. That was well done. You struggled through that one, eh?
Well, Daryl, I need a new prescription on my old eyeglasses.
Yeah,
going blind.
You had the Canucks 40. See, now I don't know how you got that wrong. Canucks 44 seconds in. It's 44 seconds left in the first period.
I'm an optimist, Daryl.
You knew the game just started.
Well, I thought I had no idea.
Derek, have you been watching the NCAA tournament? At all.
No.
Well, we've got actually something maybe...
I saw one game.
Okay, we got something maybe people will find neat. Is, as you know, and everybody knows...
The Pittsburgh game.
The first pick in the NBA draft is most likely going to be... Blake Griffin
out of Oklahoma, formerly of the UBC Thunderbird.
No.
Formerly of the SFU Clan.
No.
Formerly of the Victoria Vikes.
Okay. You're off. Anyways, Blake Griffin of the Oklahoma Sooners actually played here to play UBC in one of those Labor Day games last year.
Oh, I thought he played.
No, your mic is off now. And anyways, Blake Griffin and Oklahoma came to play here last year. And at the time, he was just a freshman. He was a top 20 recruit across the country, but he wasn't the top recruit across the country. And we actually, we're going to try to dig it up, is we... actually got to broadcast, I did, his first game maybe. I don't know exactly. I have to go back into the archives and find out. But still, before Blake Griffin was really anybody, I got to broadcast one of his games. And what I'm going to play for you right now is this is before the season. This is last September. Is I asked the head coach, Jeff Capel, who you know.
I do know.
You know, former Duke Blue Devil.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a former Duke Blue Devil. Anyway, so he's now the new coach of Oklahoma, and he took over a team that wasn't very good the year before he took over.
16-50.
They made the NCAA tournament last year, won a game, and this year they make it all the way to the Elite Eight, lose to North Carolina.
Ooh.
And their season's over now, but still they...
North Carolina was favored, was it not, Darryl?
Yeah, North Carolina was a one seed. But,
number one seed, yeah.
Number one seed. But, you know, I got to ask, and this is last September... Last September, so Blake Griffin hasn't even had a season under his belt. I got to ask the head coach of
the Oklahoma
Sooners,
who play in Oklahoma City,
Norman.
What is a suitor?
Sooner. Yeah. You're the historian. I don't know.
Oklahoma Sooner?
Yeah. And the school's very good at
basketball.
Football. Yeah.
And actually agricultural economics.
Are they?
Kind of.
Okay, anyways, here it is. A question I got to ask Jeff Capel.
Head coach.
Last September about Blake Griffin. I mean, this is kind of neat, isn't it?
Daryl, this is history in the making.
I've yet to hear. All right, let's find out what he said, okay, Derek?
All right.
Tell us about Blake Griffin, though. He was a top 20 prospect coming into the NCAA. How good can this kid be?
Well, he can be really good. He can become really good. He's about 16, about 250 pounds, really athletic, strong, plays hard, great rebounder, a little bit raw offensively, but we know he'll get better there. he's a, you know, he has a chance to be a big, big time player.
Right. And another guy you brought in, you know,
did you gather though from him saying that this guy would actually turn into the number one pick in the NBA draft a year later? I don't think
big rebounder,
big 6'10", big strong 6'10", kid,
big strong kid
could be real, real good.
I think rebounds are huge. I'm not a big basketball fan, but when you see even a game from the Final Four, March Madness, rebounds are so important. And I saw that game, Pittsburgh. They lost to, who the heck did they lose to?
Villanova. Yeah.
Well, that game, the last 2 minutes, 3 minutes, hinged upon rebounds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it could have gone either way. I was going for Pittsburgh. But basically, Pittsburgh lost the game because they...
Well, you even actually got to see, sorry to cut you off there, you even got to see rebounding in basketball when UBC played Trinity Western.
Oh,
you
that
were
was,
here for that. For, and UBC was, could not get a rebound, but they pulled out the win late.
Late.
But, I mean, they would have won that game...
Handily.
Handily if they hadn't given 21 offensive rebounds they gave up that day.
Yeah.
And I actually talked to one of their assistant coaches on the air about it, and we were able to equate it. He says... I go, is that like five turnovers in football? And he said, pretty much. Like,
pretty much.
Yeah, so.
You know what was really surprising is what? That later on that weekend, or was it the next weekend? But Trinity Western did not play up to.
The next weekend, yeah.
The next weekend. They for that game, how close it was, Trinity Western, I'm not going to go as far as to say they should have won against UBC.
They could have easily won that Friday night.
They could have.
Yeah.
UBC, I think, was still the better team, but anyway, the next weekend they weren't there.
Calgary, yeah, the Calgary game.
The Calgary game, they just were not there, and I don't. Was it the coach? Was it the players? I don't know, but...
The more you bang on the table, it picks it up. On the
picks it up,
yeah,
really.
Yeah,
I do it for emphasis.
You can't do that, though. You can use your hand like that, in like a karate chop, but you can't...
Like an Italian. You can just sort of throw them out in the air.
Now, before we finish off the show here, Derek, and thank you so much for coming on.
Daryl, my pleasure.
I really do appreciate it. Your final thought, though, on the gallery going from $2 to $2.50 beer. Now, I think we've kind of gone over it, and the fact that they're now giving us a higher quality of beer for $2.50, because it used to be $2 Molson Canadian, $8 pitchers. But now, today, for example, Sleeman's Honey, $2.50, $9.50 pitcher. We seem like two satisfied people right now.
I'm pretty satisfied,
yeah.
Daryl. I personally think that 50 cents more is a small price to pay for better beer.
It truly is. I agree with you. And $2.50 is still good.
The only thing I wonder about is the waitresses. Are they still getting good tips?
Well, that was the question, right? Because $8 pitcher, you can get...
Yeah, well, you give them a tenner.
Yeah, you might say, I'll take it. Now it's $9.50. I mean, remember? You
yeah, just 50 cent tip is...
So perhaps in the end... It's just the waitresses getting screwed over here.
I think so.
I mean, that is what we should find out.
Once again, the little guy gets screwed over by the economic crunch.
See, here we go. We bang the table on that.
Bang the table.
Now, also, on the hockey scores, Derek, is that we updated people
okay. A
little time ago. We have a change. There's been a goal scored in the NHL since our last
really?
Report.
In the Habs game?
Yeah. Guillaume Latendresse.
Oh, nice. Sounds like a Frenchman.
Has added to the Hab lead of 1-0. It's now 2-0 Montreal.
That is very good.
Now, for Canuck fans, that is important because the Habs are playing the
Chicago.
Blackhawks. Yeah. See where it's all starting to come together? It's a huge web.
For those of you who don't know, Chicago-Vancouver tied 91 points. Chicago game in hand. 4-5 in the standings. So depending on if Vancouver wins tonight, Chicago loses, they could either go fourth or fifth or even third and pass or pass Calgary.
Yeah, they win, they pass Calgary.
Montreal, 8th place in the East, former Prince of Wales Conference. I'll always be the Prince of Wales
it
Conference.
It is. You know what?
Heart.
You know what? Call it the Prince of Wales.
I will call it the Prince of Wales
Don't
Conference.
Say East ever again.
I won't.
Okay.
Florida, 1 point behind. Habs one game in hand on Florida. Very tight. Buffalo also beat the Habs on Saturday. 3 points off, 2 points off. Anyway, so it's literally a must-win for the Habs and a must-win for the Canucks if they want to win the Pacific Conference.
Well, it's not a must.
Division, not a must.
It's
but
not a must.
It's pretty... If they want to win... Because Calgary still has a game in hand. So they...
No,
they,
no.
Well, they
the
don't
have
a game.
The game in hand.
On Calgary?
Yeah. The Canucks win.
Are you sure of that?
Yeah. Canucks win. I will pull up the standings right now. Because Calgary lost last night.
Yeah, really? Okay, so... So now they're tied.
No, the Canucks are a point back with a game in hand as of right now. Here you go. Calgary's played 76. Vancouver's played 75. Calgary has 92 points. Vancouver 91. Your whole must win.
No, it's not a must win.
Out the window.
Out the window.
Out the window. It was a horrible comment, and you should feel ashamed that you even did
you
it.
You know what? This is a sleeper fan
you
for Vancouver.
You did it. Quit banging the damn table. Now, I will say this, though. Now, you're allowed to use the Campbell and you're allowed to use the Wales Conference.
All right.
You can't use the divisions anymore, though, because there only used to be four, and now there's six. So you're kind of hooped there. So that's why I really think you should make that.
Well, difference. You know what? We could keep the original four. So we would have the Smythe.
No, but who gets what?
Well, I think that
not
sort of
fair.
Central
not
division.
Fair. Not fair. I disagree.
No, you disagree?
I disagree. I think you, if you did that, that is a disgusting maneuver.
Well, I think the Atlantic Division could be the old Patrick.
Now, I do have
Patrick Division.
All right. Oh, hold on here. We're not going into that. We've gone into it, but we're abandoning ship at this point. And I had a topic that I wanted to talk about, and now I can't remember. So thank you very much.
It was darts.
Darts. No, I was just in Buffalo.
Did I tell you my story about Buffalo?
No, you can't. It's my show. So anyways, I'm recently in Buffalo, and we're going to end the show on this. This is on our way down to our Fish concert in March. And my friends and I were in Buffalo driving because we're in Toronto to get to Hampton, Virginia, which I actually thought all the time we were going to West Virginia. But we're going to Virginia, which is actually south of the Dixie Line. Did you know that? We drove by the Dixie Line on our way. Anyways, we're on our way down, and you got to go through Buffalo, you got to go around Pittsburgh and Washington, and I don't know what the line was called there. I've turned your mic off. Your mic is no longer on. Anyways, so we get to Buffalo, and we're there. It's my friend Daniel and Justin and I, and Daniel mentions how, I don't know if you remember, about 2-3 years ago, a bunch of Canuck fans went over from Toronto to Buffalo for a pay-per-view game, and were cheering there. You're on now.
I remember that. Those were our friends.
Yeah, we know those people. Anyways, Daniel was part of that group, and he remembers how when he went down to Buffalo, they found a taco stand, and they had really good tacos. So I said, all right, let's find it. And I go to the lady at the gas station, because the way it works is when you go on a road trip like that, 12-hour drive, you're going to drive your car, but eventually you're going to run out of gas. Mm-hmm. So you got to stop at a gas station and fill up. You don't have to fill up, but you got to get some gas in there.
Yeah.
Moving along. Anyway, so we go to the gas station. I go to the lady, where can we go for some taco or something? And she sent us to a place, and long story, we're going to shorten it. Actually, no, the end of the story goes, I didn't go to Buffalo and have buffalo wings. I had quesadilla.
At a taco stand?
No, we didn't even find the taco stand. It was just a
Mexican restaurant?
A Mexican restaurant. Where at the back, lots of Sabre fans. The Sabres run. They're into it there. And, I sports fan in Buffalo, apparently. I haven't found anybody that's got a bad thing to say. So.
Well, the fact that they can keep the Bills running along for all these years when they're losing market share and all this, no TV rights, nobody wants them, and the NFL wants them in Buffalo. Fans love them. You know, great, great people.
All right, thank you very much for listening to Wiener's Barbecue here today on 101.9 FM. I'd like to give you a big thumbs up if you stuck with us for the last half hour, because... That probably took more work for you than it did for us. Fair to say, Derek?
Fair to say, Daryl.
Fair to say. If you want to email us your highlights of the last half hour listening to the show, I'm very curious. Email us at ethaner@hotmail.com. So we'll see if we
can. I thought you were an epicurious.
I don't know what that means. you just played smart on me, eh?
No.
You came up with words I don't know. Now
you should look up Epicurean.
I know epidermis.
You do? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
EpiPen.
EpiPen?
What else?
I don't know. Epitomize?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
What else?
Okay.
Epidecular? Is that a word?
Could be. Let's say it is.
All right, we should go. Mike with Fletcher Head. Mike, where are you? Mike with Fletcher Head.
He's abandoned us, Daryl.
Yeah,
Like, why has Mike forsaken me?
Anyways, we got to turn you off again, okay, Derek? Say goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'd like to thank all my guests from Wiener's Barbecue today. Derek, Paul, Andrew here. Anna Mae Pierce, world record holder swimmer, perhaps a future medalist in the Olympics. And I do find it, and of course, Danielle Peterson and Liz Cordonia from the two-time CIS Women's Volleyball Championship team. And I will say it is odd in that we had the women volleyball players, two-time national champions in a row now. Liz plays on the national beach volleyball and volleyball team. She plays on both. Then we had on Anna Mae Pierce, who's an Olympic swimmer, just set a world record in the 200-meter short course breaststroke. And we had on those lovely ladies who, great athletes, accomplished so much. And then we went to us, rambling on. But we're good, eh? But you know what I'm saying here. Like, it went from world record holder to razzle-dazzle. As Jimmy Page, I ended on this, Jimmy Page quote. Is that okay, Mike? We're just getting on a Jimmy Page quote?
Okay.
All right, Mike says okay.
Talk
into the microphone. Jimmy Page
I was going to say, as Jimmy Page and Robert Plant.